Hey, welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss, join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. As always, we're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, the scavenger hunt has begun this morning. What's going on?
I will not talk about equipment on the air. Today, Michelle, you and I will just have to...
sign language.
Converse via the glass. Yes.
And you just tell me what the guests say.
I can do that. Michelle, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well this morning, guys. Thursdays are always the toughest day because then... Oh, Joe just can't hear me, Robbie. This is hilarious. Thursdays are always the toughest day because then tomorrow's Friday. We're so close to the end of the week.
We are. We're close to the end of the week. There's no question about that. I'm the translator.
What'd she say?
Yeah, she's close to the end of the week. Thursdays are the toughest day. Oh, this is going to be great. Got a lot to get to on the program here today. Dan Hynote, Preds assistant coach, joining us at 7:30. Preds taking on the Ottawa Senators tonight on the road. John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com at 8 o'clock. John McClain coming up at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that one coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Legend.
Al Gill at 9:30. So lots to get to today here on the program. Joe, it's a big day in the world of sports. Opening day in Major League Baseball and the beginning of the Masters today. Are we going to have, like, the return by tomorrow of the Masters leaderboard? Have to call up Porth so he can do that voice again?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, got to love that. Yeah, it's quite a – it didn't used to be this way, right? And like, I don't remember it always being championship game, opening day, Masters all within 3 days of each other.
That's because baseball screwed it up, and they're starting a week later than they're supposed to.
But, see, they – yeah, yes, but I almost thought they used to start a little bit later. Am I wrong about that? I guess I am wrong because it's been 162 for a long time. The national title and the Masters always been the same week.
Yeah.
So baseball's always gone earlier?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
I think so.
Because baseball never used to start in March, and sometimes the national title game would be like on April 2nd.
You know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I just feel like baseball, I mean, I know it was supposed to start earlier this year. And then
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, in recent years, it has gone to the, like, opening day sometimes has been on, like, March 30th and stuff like that. But that definitely did not used to be the case. So I don't know what that means. That means the schedule just used to be more condensed with fewer off days? I think that must be it.
Could be.
Anyway, exciting stuff.
Are you excited about opening day Major League Baseball? Your Tigers might have a chance to be not dog water this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I am. I'm. It's not one of those years where, to me, like if you have a team that's really good, and I guess I'm just admitting myself as a total bandwagoner, then you're a little bit more ready for it right when it begins. I'm still kind of like, oh, opening day, okay. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited about baseball. I'm glad we have baseball.
Yeah.
Obviously. This should start a little bit earlier, but I thought maybe it was going to be like Memorial Day or something before they figure this out. So, I mean, this is pretty good outcome. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's a very underrated sports time of the year. Baseball starts, and we're about to get into the NBA playoffs. Then we're about to get into the NHL playoffs. I think it's a great time of year for sports.
I'm just going to shock you. The Dodgers are the favorite to have the best record in Major League Baseball, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. They're at plus 220, the odds. The second best odds are Toronto at plus 750.
Interesting. Wow.
They're
there's a gap.
Very high on the Dodgers this year to have the best record.
Yeah, the Dodgers are, I mean, they have become, well, they're what the Yankees used to be. Not that the Yankees aren't still doing that, but the Dodgers are just pick up the next star and then the next star and the next star team.
This is what I know about the Masters this week. Sportsbooks are going to make a lot of money off the Masters.
Because of Tiger?
There's a lot of people betting Tiger. I could be wrong. Like, he could go out and, play really well, get himself in contention, maybe win. I doubt it, but he could. But I know a lot of just my personal friends that are laying down some cash on Tiger Woods this week, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to bet on Dustin Johnson, but you have at it.
If he wins the Masters, it's the greatest achievement of his career. I mean, that's got to be it, right?
I would agree.
I mean, I agree with you. I'll be very surprised, pleasantly surprised, if Tiger makes the cut. I just can't imagine how, if it's going to be that tough to just get through rounds, that you're going to play at the level you need to play at. But hey, pass the popcorn. I'm actually want to watch a golf tournament before a Sunday. So good for you, Tiger, and good for you, golf.
He was out there yesterday again on the practice course, and there were like thousands of people out there watching him play just a practice round. It was amazing.
So like if Tiger someday goes senior tour, does that tour become the more watched tour? I mean, seriously.
I laugh at that at first, and then I start to think about it. I'm like, well, you know, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it's incredible. But it's just – he's just one of those transcendent athletes, you know?
He is. I mean, it's – I don't know that we've ever seen anything quite like – we were talking about this yesterday at the end of the show, like for his sport – and what a game changer he is for his sport. You know, Michael Jordan's on that list. It's hard to do with football because everybody watches football anyway, but Tiger's, to me, probably number one on that list.
Yeah, like in football, maybe, I don't know. I don't even know. You go back to Jim Brown or something when pro football was still kind of an oddity, you know, when college football was still king by far. I mean, remember, college football is a much older sport, was a huge part of the sporting world before pro football ever did anything. I don't know. Otto Graham.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, Michael Jordan, like someone who just, like, who would it be in baseball? Like baseball, well, when it was the juicing era, you know, Sosa McGuire was a big bring in the casual fan to watch baseball, but that was also
Ty Cobb.
I mean, Babe Ruth. The home run, the home run, you know, which Ty Cobb hated, by the way.
Yeah.
Wrote a big report on Ty Cobb in high school.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
So one weekend when Babe Ruth was starting to rip up all these home runs, Ty Cobb said, okay, everybody, I like to get on the bases and I like to stick people with my spikes. Yeah. But, you know, we want to play this Babe Ruth crap, fine. So he goes to Philadelphia A's. Doubleheader, he hits 5 home runs in 2 games. He hits 2 more off the wall. He says, I could do that if I wanted to all day, but I'm going to go back to how I play. How about that?
Pretty impressive.
He's also a pretty miserable, awful human being.
That's right.
But he was a great baseball player.
That's right. Hey, good night for the Preds last night, kind of. St. Louis wins against the Kraken, but Vegas loses last night in regulation to Vancouver, 5-1. They lost at home to Vancouver. So
are they just like the dead fish flopping around right now?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, they're back up to 3 more games played than the Predators last night. Now the Preds have a 2-point lead on them. So pretty good night last night, especially if you can take care of business tonight if you're the Predators and get up to 4 points against the Golden Knights with 2 games in hand on them. I feel like you're in a pretty good spot at that point. So big stuff last night for the Predators. We'll see if they can take advantage of it tonight against Ottawa. We were sent yesterday on Twitter this video that I had previously not seen of the LA Lakers and one shining moment attached to it with all of their, I guess, quote, highlights this year. More like lowlights for the Lakers that they had with Russell Westbrook tossing balls off the side of the backboard and really everybody other than LeBron doing some stupid stuff out there. It was quite the mashup. I hate the one shining moment song. I made that pretty clear. But that was by far the best use of it I think I've ever seen.
That's a pretty great use of the One Shining Moment song. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I want to know who gets credit for this because it's all over Twitter, but it's just one of those things that just showed up on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I put in the link there to the big lead, and someone shared it with you and me yesterday on Twitter. It's fantastic.
LD.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And Anthony Davis shooting 5 feet past the one of the underrated parts of it is the LeBron one where I need to like pull it up here where LeBron's kind of in the corner
and he's
kind of waiting when he shoots, like it's like 10 seconds and his teammates never come down. They never come down the floor. Yeah, right. And finally, he just puts up a brick and just runs the other way. But also the one where Russell Westbrook comes and is like, "All right, guys," to like AD and LeBron, like they're down by like 20 in a game. He's like, "Hey," and they're just like, "Go away, man, just go away." Oh, it is
freaking hilarious that they're missing the playoffs. It really is. You know, I largely, it's gotten a little less so over the last couple of years, but I largely have liked LeBron throughout the majority of his career. But it is just funny that the Lakers, for some reason, make it worse. He's out there, because I hate the Lakers, and he's out there with the Lakers, and now you bring Westbrook and Anthony Davis, can't stay healthy, like Carmelo's out there, and they put all this together, and it's so much easier to make the playoffs in the NBA, at least a play-in game now, and they didn't even make the play-in
right.
game.
Right, like it's, I mean, it's absolutely,
you got
to
be bad.
You have to be in the top 10 now. I mean, come on. Just to have any kind of role in the postseason, and you can't even get that. Oh, man, and now the you know, old takes exposed.
Yeah.
You got some great ones rolling around. Kendrick Perkins, like 70 win team. We got some good stuff. I mean, I think I said it, and it's very different because that team was really good. But when they put it together, I was like, it kind of reminds me of like when Karl Malone and those guys and Gary Payton, and it was like, oh, super team. Now, granted, that team did. I mean, they got to the final. They got crushed by the Pistons in the finals, but they got there. So it's not like they were.
They actually made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they were a good team, but they weren't anything close to, because, you know, Karl Malone wasn't still Karl Malone and stuff like that. But this was like from the start, like Westbrook doesn't fit at all. How about the LeBron stuff with the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah.
So he's campaigning to
go
to the Warriors.
He wants to play with Steph.
Shake your head. Yeah, just, yeah. Now Michelle feels like she can't even, like, contribute because I can't hear her. It's okay. Just talk to Robbie.
He wants to play with Steph. I mean, look, I don't think he's hanging around L.A. I don't. I mean, the Lakers are, they're going to suck. So I don't think he's hanging around there. But
Steph was like, nah.
We'll see.
I mean, I just don't see how that works.
I don't either.
LeBron going to be like, he can be like Iguodala coming off the bench?
Yeah. I mean, are you going to take like way less of a salary? Like, I mean, I guess you could.
Yeah, I don't, that's not going to happen. I understand why he'd, I don't know where the heck he can go. The thing is, he's still really good. He's really good.
Yeah. I mean, he's still a top five player in the league.
I mean, I'm excited about the NBA playoffs. They're going to be just fine. It's actually, I'm really excited about the NBA playoffs, but it is kind of crappy that LeBron's not in them.
Yeah.
You know?
Intern Nick texting in says, currently driving to St. Louis with my grandmother to watch the Cardinals take on the Pirates, hopefully to witness Albert Pujols hit his career home run 680, going on my first opening day. Have a good one, everybody.
Nice.
Way to go, Intern Nick. It'll be fun.
Nick, there you go. That sounds great. Great place, too. One of the real havens right there.
It is.
Yeah.
Little ballpark village over there. It's good stuff.
Yeah, kind of a spoiled fan base.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Good for them.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, look ahead at the draft, and how that could affect maybe the future of some guys currently on the roster. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
As far as right tackle, the most likely starter on day one is Dylan Raiden. I don't know if he will start. And listen, if they're as down on him as Jared is, then I would do a different mock draft. But I don't – like, you seem to – like you know that Dylan Raiden has no chance based on what you saw of him his rookie year. I mean, look, there's a lot on the kid. Yeah, okay. All right.
I just remember going up to your training camp last year – and telling you that he and Kendall Lamb sucked, and you were like, it's the second day of practice and they're not wearing pads. And I was right about that.
Well, it was. Okay.
And they
it
did
was
stink.
The second day of practice. Yeah.
And then they put the pads on, and they stunk a little more.
Right. So, again, no one can ever improve, especially no one who didn't play college football the year before, who already played at a lower level, so it's a little bit higher, bigger of a learning curve, can actually improve once they're in a professional league, according to you.
No, they can. He won't.
Okay,
I
but
told
he won't.
You.
All right.
I told
Great.
You.
Just brilliant commentary there yesterday on Jared versus Joe.
Thank you for cutting that up before I started yelling at him. I really started getting angry after that.
I know I was listening.
Big dub. That's a dub. Another dub. God, how many has Jared won? Two?
Courtesy wins.
Yeah.
In the competition.
No, I'm going to give Caroline. No, I don't. I think Caroline, you know, it's a tough. She's in a tough spot. She's in a tough spot there. So I think when Jared has won, she has actually thought he's won.
Sure.
Now, she may have been wrong, but she is actually, I believe that she genuinely thought that.
On this show, you have won every single time.
Right. On this show, yes. This is like, you know, this is state-run radio here.
Yes.
So, yeah. All is well.
Jared will never win. So I guess he's going right tackle, right? That's Jared's plan for
that's
this version.
That's the
right
only possibility. Right tackle! It's the only possibility. Again, I'm not saying it's out as a possibility, but I think if that's where they go, well, if that's where they go, then I think they probably are confirming what Jared is saying.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say so. Unless they just love the right tackle that's there, I guess, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they, yeah, they could love the right tackle that's there, but to me, you don't use that pick on a right tackle unless you're pretty sure you don't have one.
Agreed.
So we'll see. Well, I think that this debate, and again, that's the thing. But later he's like, well, you guarantee it. I guarantee he won't play. You guarantee. Well, I'm not guaranteeing anything. I don't.
It's always got to be some extreme.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, your couch, your takes. What? No, what? Don't have stupid ones that I throw all over the place. Like, you don't. I don't have any idea if Dylan Radins is good enough. I disagree. Another part is like the San Francisco game. I mean, that's a confidence builder. Was he great in that game? No. Apparently, Blake Bedingfield, who I like a lot, respect a lot, said he, again, I need the translation, the Jared translation of what Blake Bedingfield said is he stunk. He was terrible in that game. I'd like to actually hear the exact translation. It's kind of like when Jared's like, oh, the text line is lighting up in support of me. It's like,
there's
aunt.
One guy.
Yeah, his aunt is on there saying, "Hey, Jared, go." So I don't know if Dylan Radins is good enough, but I don't think that last year rules it out. And, again, I think when you look at all the circumstances involved in that, you have to – now, look, John Robinson, if John Robinson knew that it was going to be like this, he probably would have gone somewhere else. Right? Because I still think a second-round pick needs to be someone who plays in the rookie year. But it is a little bit different situation. Some of these players, given what all went down in 2020 especially, I mean, it's a little bit different. So I think it's possible that Dylan Radins could be the long-term right tackle for this team. Call me crazy.
Well, look, I think in this situation, and I'm not talking about necessarily inside the Titans building, but I think there have been a couple of extremes on both sides that I'm not at. And I'm not sitting here going to tell you that Dylan Radins is just awful and he's not ever going to play. Like, I'm not buying into that. We'll wait and see what happens this year. I also think some people, after the San Francisco game, took it a little too far the other way of, oh, we put him out there at left tackle and he was fine. Did really, really good out there. He was okay. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like he was – you know, vintage Taylor Lewan out there at left tackle. So I think it's been taken to the extreme kind of both sides. I'm somewhere right in the middle. This is a big offseason for him. He needs to come into training camp, and he needs to be ready to start at right tackle. And if he's not, then you got a big problem to me.
Right, and the problem for the Titans is
you got to make this decision before then.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have some kind of an idea right now. I mean, obviously, before any of the spring stuff happens and you actually get to see him back on the field again and see whatever gains he's made and how they translate, and that means weight room, but that also means film work, whatever it is. I mean, you got to have a feeling for that going into the draft. But look, that night against San Francisco, there were some moments where I was actually surprised that they left him out there like they did and he was fine. So, to say he was just pure garbage in that game, it's not. That's just not true. To say he was all pro in that game, I don't think. Well, you may be right. Maybe some people did say that. I mean, people say a lot of
things. Well, people, I mean, after that game, we're like, well, Dylan Raiders could be the left tackle. Get Luan out. That's what our text line looked like the next day. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we just calm down a little bit on the game that Dylan Raiders just had.
Do you have any names?
I don't remember.
I need to know who texted.
But I remember that. That's what at least four or five of them said on the text line.
On our text line, you need to admit it if that was you right now. And that's one.
That could just be purely off hatred for Taylor Luan. I don't know. But.
Well, that's true. There's a lot. Yeah, that's always part of it too. Is the Luan haters are like, they'll take a bag of balls out there as an alternative. Yeah. You know, if you give them a chance. Admit it if it was you. See, we need to do our own old takes exposed.
We do.
Text line, like, save
just
some
comb
of these,
through,
you know?
The text line.
Yeah, but look, I don't know. I'm in the middle too, and honestly, it's still like players can improve. If you force me to pick one path, like, okay, Dylan Raiden is going to be a really good starting right tackle in this league or starting tackle in this league, or he's going to be kind of like a reserve swing guy, choose the path, I would pick the reserve swing guy. I mean, we haven't seen anything yet that says, oh, yeah.
Sure.
I just reject the idea that there's no chance or that what we've seen is the final word given all the circumstances.
I mean, they're going to go offensive line somewhere in this draft, right? I mean, it's whether it's guard or center or tackle. Like, at some point, it's going to happen. But I agree with you. Like, if you go right tackle with your first round pick, that kind of tells me all, I think, that we need to know what they think about Dylan Raiders at that point.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you would probably be looking at the right tackle draftee and Raiders competing, I guess. But again, if you're investing in that pick for someone to compete with Raiders, then you're probably not expecting Raiders to win. You're expecting Raiders to be a nice backup,
or you're expecting Raiders to, he's your left guard. You're doing.
Or he could be your left guard, and that's where it's interesting too, because like my awesome mock draft, I had them picking a left guard in the first round, also with the idea that because you got, you know. The thing is, if you pick a tackle and it's a tackle who may be good enough to play left tackle someday, that's forward thinking because at some point you're not going to have Luan. But like Zion Johnson for Boston College, the reports are he could absolutely be a center in this league.
Yep.
So he could be your left guard. He could also at some point possibly be your center. You know, so you're also kind of forward thinking. But it comes down to, what's your bigger need this year? I think. I mean, that's where they are as a team. They're too competitive right now. They're too close to not think in those terms first.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Liam on the text line says, Joe, I love hearing stories about the old days. Did you get to interview Ty Cobb after one of his great games in Detroit? Maybe consider a Grandpa Joe segment where you tell us about the golden days of yore. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Yeah, I didn't get a one-on-one. It was like a telegram thing.
Yeah.
He told me to F off on the telegram.
Horse and buggy.
I love that idea, Liam. Grandpa Joe stories. Story time.
Thank you, Liam. I can tell you some good Lou Whitaker stories from my childhood.
There we go. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays at First Horizon Park. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:20 and first pitch is at 6:35. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Spirited Hive, and Dazed Delta 8. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We have people admitting their wrongdoings on the text line, Joe Rexha. Craig texting in, taking some responsibility. Not the Dylan Raiders, Taylor Lewan situation, but just says, I thought Matt Duchene would have under 20 goals and under 50 points on the season. Glad I swung and missed on that one. I don't think Craig's alone there.
Yeah, I mean, look, Craig, I appreciate you being willing to come out here and admit that, but I bet you if you polled every single member of the Preds fan base, you'd be in the, 85th percentile or so.
Probably
right?
Higher than that.
Yeah. Maybe higher than that. Maybe 90% of Preds fans would have thought that. So, but good job. And, by the way, I would have thought that, too.
Yes. Ty on the text line says, I think the indicator here is that the Titans didn't sign Quisenberry. I think that shows they're leaning towards Radins at right tackle.
Well, but if they draft a right tackle in the first round, then they're not leaning toward him at right tackle. They're not leaning toward believing he can be the starting right tackle, to me. And, if they do that, people are going to be upset, by the way, which I understand. People are going to be like, okay, so let's see. First round tackle, gone. Second round tackle, relegated to bench dude. And here's a first round tackle. Yeah. Yay. Which I understand. And it would be an absolute reaction to failures in the draft. Also, though, all you can do as a GM in a draft is try to improve your team. Like, you can't think in terms of, oh, we drafted this position already, so I can't do it now. I mean, you have to do what you think is best to improve your team. And if you have someone who you draft who's going to be a really good right tackle coming right in here, like Jack Conklin was, by the way, in John Robinson's first draft, well, then do it. And, yes, to me, that – so I can't look at the not signing Quest thing, which, by the way, he's still out there. Maybe it still happens at some point. I mean, Mykole Pruitt went down to the very end last year, and they finally said, okay, come on back. So maybe that could happen with Quisenberry too. I don't think right now we have the hand tipped yet.
Devin from Dover texting in says, the Titans have their right tackle all sorted out. Tyler Vrabel. I'm joking, by the way. This is coming from Devin from Dover on the text line.
By the way, so is Tyler Vrabel – I thought that he was – is he in the draft this year or no?
I see an article from bcinterruption.com, which I assume is Boston College to some degree, that the headline is Tyler Vrabel declares for 2022 NFL draft.
Okay, so he is in the – because I thought Tyler Vrabel was – I think he's potentially draftable, yeah? I guess most people think he's going to be an undrafted free agent. Well, by the way, my little mock draft – has a Tanuda from Virginia Tech being drafted by the Titans. And that is the son of John Tanuda, former assistant coach at Ohio State when Mike Vrabel was there, guy who recommended Shane Bowen to Ohio State back a few years ago when Mike Vrabel was trying to get Urban Meyer to hire him. So how about that?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's
6'8". But maybe, hey, honestly, I mean, in all seriousness, Tyler Vrabel – could be, I think he's a pretty good player at Boston College. He could be an undrafted free agent pickup. That'd be fun around here. Vrabel probably wouldn't want to do that, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess some people would be like, that'd be like a dream to coach your kid. Some people would be like, it's just, it's a tough dynamic. That'd be interesting. But I think he's going to end up in some NFL camp.
I mean, it'd be tough if, the Titans had to cut him at some point, wouldn't it? It's like, well. Yeah, sorry.
But you got to know that.
Yeah.
You got to know that as a possibility, if you're an undrafted free agent, right?
Yeah.
Vrabel will be like, get out of here.
Stay at the house.
Can you please go do the dishes? Okay.
Go do your chores. Fill up the gas in the car.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Well, yeah, so that's – I hadn't heard a lot. I thought maybe – because, I mean, that's the problem now. That's not a problem. It's a problem with, guessing anymore with, players coming back. It's like everyone has that COVID year now, Like, for example, Aaliyah Boston at South Carolina, it's like she's coming back, which makes – she's going to make way more money as a college – by the way, in college with NIL now. You can make way more money in women's basketball. Like, Caitlin Clark is going to bank next year more than she would bank.
Oh, yeah.
But Aaliyah Boston can play 2 more years at South Carolina.
Yeah.
And she might.
She probably will.
Because she's going to bank – with NIL and a rookie in WNBA makes $80,000.
Standing in the way of Kelly Harper in Tennessee.
Maybe they'll meet in the Final Four.
Maybe so. So as you look at this Titans roster right now, we've talked so much about the draft and different positions that they could go. What is the weakest link right now in the starting 22 for this Titans team? Offense, defense. What position group are you looking at that is the weakest link right now in your mind?
I mean, it's the offensive line, right? I think with Woods now coming on at receiver, I'm trying to think of what else would be, you know, tight end would be in contention. I mean,
I still think receiver's in contention. I mean, you have two guys right now. You have Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, who's currently your number three.
Yeah, but the two guys are
they're pretty good.
Brown and Robert Woods.
I know.
I mean, so, like, you need more there. I agree. But that's not – I mean, again, the question is starting 22.
Yep.
Those two guys are your starters? Yep, feel good. Now, you know, we don't know with Robert Woods. Is he going to be full go and vintage Robert Woods off the ACL? I don't know. But I'd still feel pretty good about that if you're starting 22 – includes those two guys. I think everywhere on defense is solid. I would look at corner. I'd look at tight end. I'd look at offensive line. But, I mean, I think you can really boil it down to – because I think Aaron Brewer is a pretty solid football player, I think I would boil it down to right tackle.
What about quarterback? Because we just had an all caps text message that says quarterback. No question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but are you serious, though, person, texter? Like, you really think that the weakest of the 22 players on this team, starting for this team, that the weakest one is Ryan Tannehill?
We have another vote for quarterback.
Yeah, see, this is actually a good question to draw out some bad opinions. Tannehill blew it. There's no question. But, no, Tannehill is not the worst starter of the Titans, I promise you. You got to get off that. This is like, it's gone too far, everyone. We're over the cliff. Like, by the time we get to training camp, what are we going to be saying about Tannehill? Like, how is that guy even in the – wait, he's not in the USFL right now? The USFL needs backup quarterbacks, Ryan.
Tannehill could start for the University of Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Tannehill might be a nice slot receiver for the Titans. Yeah. How about that? He's a better receiver than a quarterback. I mean, come on, guys. Moving on from Ryan Tannehill, absolutely may be the thing to do, and he blew it, but it's not that bad. Does this make us part of the Tannehill boohoo crew because we're not just going completely overboard on this crap?
Matthew from Jolton says quarterback and offensive line, the two weak spots.
So here's a vote on the text line for cornerback.
Okay.
I mean, I feel good about Fulton. I feel good about Molden. Yep. But there's still – he's got to be more consistent and all that. But I feel like he's going to be – that's going to end up being a really nice pick. He's going to be a good starter for this team. The other spot is definitely – that position definitely is in contention given the youth of the other two guys. They still have to take steps and then just the uncertainty – of the other one. I mean, it could be Screen. It could be Chris Jackson. I think they have to draft another corner.
Got a texture that says, Rex Road is the leader of the Boohoo Tannehill crew. He's the worst player of the 22. The team knows it, too. He's the liability.
Oh, God.
So Aaron Brewer right now probably a starting member of this team.
Right.
By the way, it's not
Dylan Radins. Again, Buster Screen or Chris Jackson right now probably starting day one. But no, but Tannehill's the worst of the 22. Fine. Be dumb.
Depending on what personnel they're in, Jeff Swaim's a starter right now.
Yeah, I mean, come on,
Austin,
man.
Hooper. I mean.
Sure. Austin Hooper's pretty good.
He sucked in Cleveland. Like, the numbers are not good.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I mean, that's, yeah. It's okay, now we have the first interception. The rest of the interceptions were the receiver's fault. Well. Wait, now you're saying in the playoff game? So now we
now we're going too far the other way.
Yeah, now we're going too far the other way. Yeah. Okay, we must be talking about two different things here. The second and third picks against Cincinnati were not the receiver's fault. They had no role in it, basically.
Yeah. Ball even never made it close to the receiver on the second one.
Can we settle into reality, folks?
Off to a blazing start.
Let's just be all extreme. It feels like a lot of conversations in this country.
Off to a blazing start on the text line this morning, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April the 16th. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
I swear I don't try to make these, like, you know, one thing that's good but also bad, but it just seems to work out that way. It won't always be like this, I swear, but it just it's too perfect this week. So, best thing, hoops, absolutely. And, you know, two games in particular, the Duke UNC game, I can't believe it lived up to the hype. It was amazing. Also, the UConn-Louisville game was incredible. The women's final four. Louisville, sorry. So actually, the national title, the men's national title game was was really good. So awesome weekend of hoops. That's an easy one for me. And my worst is just, you know, another one of these like awkward. I mean, I guess it's funny. You could actually make this a best if you wanted to, but it's the whole thing is just a worst. The Kansas situation. Mark Emmert, who calls him the Kansas City Jayhawks, which is hilarious.
Is that what he said?
He said the Kansas City Jayhawks, yeah. Which probably speaks to just the awkwardness of handing a trophy to Bill Self, because of course we're like almost 5 years in now since all the FBI wiretapping came out, and Kansas was a star of that whole situation. It's not quite like when Roger Goodell had to give the trophy to Brady, you know, after Deflategate. But yeah, it's kind of like that. The worst, like the whole thing with this with Bill Self again. Bill Self's not on an island or whatever. But let's remember here, two of the bag men for Kansas, Jim Gatto and Merle Code, like they're in federal prison right now.
Yeah.
For you know, basically providing former Kansas recruits with money as an inducement to play in Kansas. TJ Gasnola testified against them to keep himself out of prison. Kansas tried to actually sue them to get money back when, I mean, these guys were benefiting Kansas. Bill Self's caught on tape. It's very clear what happened for years at Kansas. Not saying it's the only place that has done it, but it is the definition of being a cheating program. And in the meantime, we've kind of softened on what cheating is. So some of that stuff now is just going to be part of NIL, which I think is good. But in the meantime, it's another just example of like NCAA basketball and just the entire system having this weird thing. It's like, yay, you did it, and here's a lifetime deal, and you're untouchable. And meanwhile, like a lot of the other coaches out there are like, but they're dirty as all get out.
Yeah.
So that's my best and worst.
Congrats to Bill Self.
Dollar bill, y'all.
That's right. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Also, people need to chill with that Kansas is getting their national championship taken away, because they're obviously not.
No.
It's like, relax, that was years ago, not even this team.
Yeah, like
they
Silvio,
are keeping that.
Yeah, Silvio D'Souza, and those are the guys that were part of this investigation. They're long gone. This will not be taken down, but I think next year they're not going to get to defend it.
No, I agree. Okay, so no surprise, basketball for my best in sports. ESPN PR always comes out with the ratings on how each games have done, whether it's the men's tournament or the women's tournament. And the national championship game for the women's tournament, which actually wasn't even really a good game. I mean, South Carolina pretty much was winning the entire time, but it was the most watched championship game in nearly two decades. So that's just insane. And it just shows that all the efforts that ESPN, the TV contracts, and putting them in better time slots, and just the more exposure of the game and everything, and even just the March Madness branding as a whole is actually helping and investing in women's sports. So I think that's absolutely awesome. It was like 4.85 million viewers. So that's great for the game. There is an audience out there. I think this was similar to my best last week and my worst in sports. We kind of touched on this at the beginning of the show, and it sparked it when I was listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning when I drove in. It's this whole LeBron situation. So this, I feel like, got blown way out of proportion. And if you listen to the soundbite from LeBron, he was on his show called The Shop, which is by like Uninterrupted. They kind of like sit down and they're all just talking. Essentially, the question asked LeBron was like, hey, who do you still want to play with? And he was like, current players, like players who are playing right now. And obviously, he names Steph Curry and people have heard the audio. But he also goes on to say, you know, Scottie Pippen and like other legends and things like that. And I just feel like this got way blown out of proportion. Everybody's like, oh my God, LeBron's leaving LA, which I mean, wouldn't surprise me because he will just go anywhere now. And they played the audio for Steph, which I just think was absolutely hilarious. And Steph is basically like, oh, yeah, no. Like, basically the underlying tone is like, yeah, I don't want to play with LeBron. And LeBron's just like, Lakers didn't make LeBron, you failed as a GM this season. And now I just feel like he's like, oh, yeah, everybody's blowing this up. Like, LeBron wants to move again. And it just annoys me that he does this every couple years. And I get it. He's an amazing player. I'm not saying he's a bad player because I know people are going to blow up about that because everybody loves LeBron or hates him. But it just annoys me that he jumps ship so often. And what do you know? Now the Lakers are out of the playoffs. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to play with Steph Curry. And Steph's just like, yeah, no, I don't want to play with you, basically. So that's my worst in sports.
There you go. LeBron. I can't imagine something that he says being taken out of proportion.
Yeah.
Blown out of proportion like that.
Yeah, how about that? Okay, real quick before you do yours.
Okay.
So on our stream, it's video from yesterday. Am I weird? Like, what is going on? Because of my little pink coffee cup keeps showing up on the screen.
It's good on mine. I don't know. Maybe you clicked on the wrong button.
Yeah, this is so weird.
I think you're on the wrong stream because it's all good over here.
Yeah. ESPN 1025 The Game Twitter account.
Well, there's different streams on different days, so you may have clicked the wrong one. I don't know.
It says from 7 minutes ago. All right. Anyway, I will not talk about equipment on the show.
Refresh.
All right, my best thing in sports, Tiger Woods, back in the Masters. I mean, it's cool to see him back out there playing and competing. We'll see how it goes starting today. The sportsbook odds are pretty unbelievable on how people expect him to finish. I would assume that means a lot of money coming in on Tiger Woods. I think they just put a graphic up on ESPN where he's 4-1 odds to make it to the top 10, finish in the top 10, according to Caesars Sportsbook. So we'll see what happens on that front, but Tiger Woods back in the Masters. Really cool, and quite frankly, gives me a reason to watch the Masters today instead of just on Sunday this week. So, looking forward to it. My worst thing in sports, and it's nothing that's really all that bad, the 03 draft class in the NHL, which I think many people consider to be, if not the greatest draft class of all time, one of the greatest draft classes of all time, starting to dwindle down a little bit. Shea Weber hadn't played this year. Ryan Getzlaff, I know Predators fans love him, announcing his retirement from the NHL the other day. It's just, this is the draft class that was here in Nashville. It was the draft in Nashville. Fleury still playing. There's a couple guys out there, you know, Ryan Suter, still playing in the league from the 03 draft class. But that's probably the greatest draft class that I have seen in my lifetime. It could end up being the greatest draft class I'll ever see in my lifetime in the NHL. And guys are dwindling. There's only a few of them left from the 03 draft class at this point.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel depressed today. Yeah. Jeez, that is sad. That's a good one.
I know the Predators fans are not all broken up about Ryan Getzlaff retiring.
Yeah, yeah. Good riddance.
When he did that the other day, I was like, man, how many are left? Not very many.
I mean, that was 19 freaking years ago.
I know. I mean, Shea Weber, I guess technically is still
five.
He's technically not retired, so I guess he's still in there.
I still think he's coming back.
Brent Burns? I mean, he might.
Am I crazy?
Look. Far be it from me to count out Shea Weber.
Like, I'd bet on it. Hey, real quick on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. From the same texter who called me the leader of the Tannehill Boohoo crew and quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, why don't you give us your name? He says, I'm sure Michelle has a bunch of different radio hosts and personalities she'd enjoy to do a show with. A long list of people she'd rather do a show with.
Rather do a show with than us? Yes, thank you.
But LeBron expresses players he likes to play with, and that's bad. That's crazy to me.
There you go.
Wait,
he said that?
So
no, my worst was essentially that the media is saying like he wants to play with LeBron and he's moving.
Well, again, like to your point, honestly, I didn't listen to the whole thing from LeBron. I didn't listen to the whole thing from Steph. I saw the segment of this on Twitter, and I went, oh, I mean, I don't know that they're totally out of context, but a little bit, right? Yeah. So what's your list of how many people are on your list of people you'd rather do a show with than us? now that we're on it.
You guys are
greater or less than 30.
You guys are my favorite people to do a show with.
Your favorite boomers?
What about the six?
Yeah, exactly. What about all the young talent on the six?
Oh, the six.
There's Elijah Campbell. He's a fun dude too. So
that was a very diplomatic answer by Michelle Knezvik there. That was good stuff.
We did a very evasive. Nice job.
Got a vote for the hat trick for Ryan Johansson, first one in his career. As the best thing in sports this week.
That's
a like
good
that.
One. Couldn't get Glennon couldn't vote for him for first star, but hey, that's cool.
Clay on Twitter says, the worst is Vol, and he spells it V-A-W-L. Love that one. Vol fans claiming baseball. Now, after 20 years of telling us, it didn't matter. Must be a Vanderbilt fan.
Oh, yes.
I do.
Oh, yes.
I am increasingly enjoying the Vanderbilt-Tennessee baseball fan rivalry on Twitter.
Me too. I really hope that there's another meeting between these teams this year.
I think there could be.
I think there could be, too.
We'll see what happens. This has been the best and worst things in sports for the week. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Ottawa Senators. Is it time to be concerned about a high draft pick that the Predators have had? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.